Hello, and welcome to the On SOA podcast series. In this special set of podcasts, SOA journalist Joe McKendrick interviews the authors and contributors behind the book, SOA Design Patterns, the newest title in the Prentice Hall Service-Oriented Computing series from Thomas Earle. You can learn more about this book and download sample chapters at soapatterns.com. Also, while listening to this podcast, you can look up any design patterns being discussed at soapatterns.org, a community site dedicated to the ongoing development and expansion of the SOA Patterns catalog. For more information about other series titles, be sure to visit soabooks.com. Now, here's Joe McKendrick.
Hello, this is Joe McKendrick, independent analyst and author of the ZDNet SOA Service-Oriented Architecture blog, as well as the eBizQ SOA in Action blog site. And I'm pleased to have here with me on this podcast Thomas Earle, one of the most prolific authors I know of in this market. And Thomas is here to talk to us about his latest book, SOA Design Patterns, just published by Prentice Hall. Welcome, Thomas.
Thanks, Joe. Nice to meet you.
And for the past few years, you've been a voice among us who has offered absolute clarity about the purpose and functioning of SOA. You've written a number of books and guided many companies on what could be often a bewildering journey. Thomas, I'll also add, if you aren't busy enough with writing and co-authoring these books, you are also editor of the SOA magazine and president and founder of SOAschool.com, which provides the internationally recognized SOA certified professional program.
Yeah, there's a lot going on right now in the SOA space, and there's a lot of synergy between the things I do, but it's a very exciting industry to be in right now. As you know, because you're always writing about it, I am a very avid fan of your journalism and the reporting that you do in this area.
Thank you very much. It's a very busy marketplace, very active, a lot of projects going on out there. And your latest book, SOA Design Patterns, offers a lot of information about the functioning of SOA. SOA Design Patterns not only helps the IT practitioner lay the groundwork for a well-functioning effort across the enterprise, but also connects the dots between SOA and the business requirements in a very concrete way. Thomas, why don't you tell us, as I understand it, you started this effort back in 2004. Tell us what gave you the inspiration to begin identifying and writing about SOA patterns.
Well, I've always been a fan of design patterns. I find that they are extremely valuable piece of information, real actual proven wisdom that's been documented, and the manner in which the whole patterns community has evolved and formalized how patterns are documented and organized into pattern catalogs. I've always found that helpful and a really a real part of the IT world that has matured to an extent that is providing value to all aspects of IT. And when we were involved in a variety of different SOA pioneering projects in the early 2000s and into the mid-2000s, getting more into actual implementation and deployment, there were so many things that came up, so many problems and challenges. Many of them were reminiscent of traditional issues that would come up in IT projects, but there are so many unique things about SOA design efforts and SOA project delivery life cycles, and just as the nature of SOA and service orientation itself, there are so many distinct characteristics about it that a number of techniques and best practices emerged that were unique to SOA, and I started documenting them just to have this handbook of practices that I could take from client to client. And then as the whole book series evolved on its own and as additional books came out and as I started to collaborate more with other SOA experts in the industry, I realized that there would be benefit to documenting a lot of this information as a formal design pattern catalog. And originally, it was going to be a book called SOA Principles and Patterns, and it's a book that I started writing for quite some time, and the manuscript was just growing to such an extent. It was over 1,000 pages, I think, when my editor at Prentice Hall came to me and said, you know, we really should split this into two books. They are two distinct topics, and as a result, the book SOA Principles of Service Design was released first, was released last year, and then I turned my attention toward this book, SOA Design Patterns. And there's a lot of cross-references and a lot of relationships that exist between design principles and design patterns. But this book itself now, it also grew a great deal just because of a lot of the external attention it got and a lot of the review cycles that it underwent. And it just turned into a much bigger project than I ever thought it would. It took a long time, and so many people were involved with it. It was a real community effort.
Yes, as a matter of fact, you did not come up with this all by yourself. You had a lot of help along the way. Can you talk about the community process that went into the development of these patterns?
It was really interesting. It started with me just delivering a first draft of the pattern catalog. It had 60 patterns in it, and that was just the starting point, really. I made that available to a number of the reviewers and people that I knew or knew of in the SOA space, just to get validation and further feedback from the industry about this collection of patterns. And so we had 140 galleys printed up, full-color galleys, sent out to these professionals all around the world that had a questionnaire, and they responded with that. But what we also did, and I was able to fortunately get support from Prentice Hall to do this, is I felt strongly that these patterns needed as much validation, as broad of a validation as possible, because again, people will be using these patterns to build their solutions and will be relying on the validation that they will have been subjected to. And so we were able to manage to get the entire first draft of the manuscript published on a site called soapatterns.org, just for an open public review. Anybody could access the site, provide feedback via online forms, and that was done over a period of 3 months concurrently with the SOA expert review. And then what also happened around that time span was that we were able to organize a review of the manuscript just by the patterns community itself. And they very much scrutinized it, and they provided a lot of insightful feedback as to how the manuscript was developed and how it documented patterns from a patterns documentation perspective. And that all this feedback was synthesized together and funneled into a second draft. And as part of that, as part of the site that we had published, it was also a call for participation. I wanted to know if others in the industry had patterns that they had validated, that they had developed, that they would like to contribute to the book. And so I received about 34 contributions from various external professionals. And those themselves now had to undergo separate reviews and were, again, subjected to their own review cycles. Many of them did not make it into the book. Many of them weren't able to sufficiently validate them, or they were addressing technology platforms that themselves were not considered sufficiently mature. And those are still part of the pattern catalog, but they are considered candidate patterns. And what we've done now is we've relaunched soapatterns.org as a site dedicated, as a community site dedicated to the development and expansion of the SOA Patterns Catalog, and it publishes summarized descriptions of all the patterns in the book, plus it has a candidate section with, initially right now, it has about 20 candidate patterns there that we want as many people as possible to look at and study and provide feedback for. And then as those candidate patterns get reviewed and validated, and as they go through their own evolutionary cycles, they'll begin to get moved into the master pattern catalog.
And how many patterns do you have now in the master pattern catalog?
There are 85 patterns that made it in to the book and now comprise the catalog as it exists today. The majority of those are individual patterns, and then there is a set of patterns that we call compound patterns, which are comprised of aggregates of the existing patterns Those include patterns like Enterprise Service Bus and orchestration and federated endpoint layer.
Okay. It sounds like the review process for these patterns is fairly rigorous. Can you kind of give us a brief snapshot of how that review process works?
Yeah, it depends on what perspective you're coming from. If you are an SOA expert, and that is both from a consulting and a practitioner perspective, we want to definitely have both those perspectives as part of how they're reviewed. Then you would be asked to review the patterns and fill out a questionnaire in terms of your opinions of it. Have you seen this in practice? Are there aspects of the pattern that should be further covered or documented better? Because, I mean, in essence, each pattern is a design solution, is a proven design solution that solves a common design problem. And these patterns, of course, provide that specifically for SOA and service orientation. And so from a practitioner and a consulting perspective, we wanted that insight. And then from a patterns documentation perspective, we wanted to be able to ensure that the patterns did conform to the conventions that have emerged around how patterns are being documented in past publications like the popular enterprise integration patterns from Gregor Hope and Bobby Wolf. Of course, the number of enterprise application patterns from Martin Fowler and a number of the patterns that he's been involved with. And all that started with the design patterns book from the Gang of Four, which was inspired by Christopher Alexander's work in building architecture. But from that review, I learned a great deal about documenting patterns, and I learned a lot about pattern languages and pattern application sequences, and that inspired a lot of how this book was eventually structured.
Okay, great. And who is this book and site targeted at? Who would be the who are the folks you are trying to reach? Is it the CIOs? Is it developers? Is it enterprise architects? All of the above?
I don't know. It depends how technical the CIO would be if they would enjoy this. All the details in this book. I think there's one thing that management people would probably get out of a book like this is just to understand what is distinct about SOA and service orientation, understand what type of changes are required and the justification for those changes in order to support the strategic goals of SOA and service-oriented computing. But it is really primarily targeted toward the developer and architect, technology architect communities, because it does deal with design problems, so very much an architecture-related field. But a number of the patterns get into enough detail so that if you're a developer and you are making, even low-level design decisions, it helps understand the mechanics of service-oriented solutions. It helps provide some insight to that, and I think as a developer that can be really beneficial to you as well. One thing I should mention is that in this book we abstained from providing too much low-level code examples because we have a roadmap for the entire book series right now, and there are a number of books that are coming out after the SOA Design Patterns book, which further explore the application of these patterns within specific platforms. So, for example, we have the SOA with .NET and the SOA with Java books coming out later in 2009, and they will each be exploring the application of relevant patterns in those respective platforms, and they'll show a lot of code examples in Java and .NET as to how they can be applied, patterns around building services and service compositions and so on. We have other books. We have a book called ESB Architecture for SOA, which will provide more specialized ESB patterns and further explore the Enterprise Service Bus as a compound pattern. And then we have the SOA with REST book that's in development right now, which will explore the REST-inspired patterns that didn't make it into this initial book but are candidate patterns right now up for review at soapatterns.org.
Okay, Thomas, and you raised a very important point as well. You have a lot of contributions to the community from individuals that are employed by vendors. However, the patterns apply to are vendor neutral. It doesn't matter if you're an old Microsoft shop or if you're running IBM with a Java or a Java Enterprise Edition. These patterns fit all situations. They're vendor neutral and platform neutral. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a fundamental part of the philosophy behind the book series itself. It's very much vendor neutral in how it establishes terminology, concepts, principles, best practices, and of course that carries over into the patterns as well. And I guess, you know, we did have a lot of contributions from members of SOA vendors like Oracle and Microsoft and IBM and Sun and Intel and so on. But I should also mention we had a lot of contributions and support from other organizations in the public sector. We Dennis Wisnowski from the U.S. Department of Defense wrote an entire chapter for the book, and there were academic institutions involved. A number of professors from various universities were part of the reviews and provided additional insights. So, and I should also mention the standards space and the standards community itself. We had people who are involved with the W3C and OASIS and WSI that were also part of this effort. So it was a truly very broad community effort.
Okay, great, Thomas. Thank you very much. Again, this is Joe McKendrick, and I've been speaking with Thomas Earle, author of SOA Design Patterns. And we invite our listeners to join us in the next podcast in this series, in which Thomas will discuss the service inventory, the concepts and primary patterns he has published in the book. And we also invite our listeners to visit the soapatterns.org site to explore the 85 patterns and the additional candidate patterns that are now under development.
Thank you for listening to this installment of the On SOA podcast series. To learn more about the Prentice Hall Service-Oriented Computing series from Thomas Earle, please visit soabooks.com. Also, all the books in the series are available online at Safari Books Online, which can be accessed at safari.informit.com.